wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to the Gridiron, guys, your home of the NFL, south of the equator. It's a huge week. We're basically leading up to the mecca of what all NFL fans are after. The night before Christmas, it's basically the week before Christmas. Super Bowl is coming up this Monday for us, Super Bowl Sunday. Joining me as always is Cam. How are you going this week?
Oh, I'm fantastic. All roads this week lead to Arizona. You're right. It is Christmas for us and we're bloody excited. I think it should be a good matchup. We believe it's going to be a good matchup. The script's telling us 37-34 to the Eagles. So I don't know how much you want to read into that, but that's what we could be set in for.
Yeah, the script is getting another run, isn't it? We saw it all over the Pro Bowl this week and it's popping up again on TikTok and things like that. But it really comes to mind, I don't know if you saw it as well, that these two teams are really even, both 14-3. Mm-hmm. I think there was something about both the amount of points they've scored, both the same amount of Pro Bowlers that they had this year, both having a Kelce as well going to the Pro Bowl. So it was just like a lot of the stars are aligning that these are two very evenly matched teams. And I think even like off paper, you know, on the park, it's really hard to split these guys across, you know, all three levels of the game.
Yeah, I've been struggling all week to actually kind of split these guys. My head just keeps going towards Eagles. I can't seem to get off that, but it's going to be hard for me to actually pick them. I don't know if I can go and make myself pick them and choose them to win, but they're just something that keeps pulling me in their direction.
It's funny. I think I was thinking the same thing. I want to pick Eagles, but I feel like Kansas City is starting to get that sort of like Patriot effect. You know, back in the day when Tom Brady and the Patriots were winning all the time, and you're just kind of like, maybe I just want to go for another team. Regardless of how good, you know, the Patriots were or Kansas City are at the moment, you just don't give them enough credit and you just think, nah, they're going to fail eventually. But they just, to their credit, they keep coming back. You know, Mahomes, as much as, you know, he does have his faults and does have a few shortcomings, he keeps coming back. We've probably tipped him to win the MVP as well coming up this week.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just hard to count those guys out, and they are just a good quality team. And probably the only reason, I don't know if this is the same with you, I'm probably leaning towards Philadelphia, is AFC bias. I don't really want anyone outside of Denver to win the AFC.
Yeah, it's hard for me because, and you actually made a very good point there. I probably didn't think about it like that. In terms of, we always write off this team that's always just going to be there and they keep getting there. You're like, oh, they're not going to win. Like, we're over them. We're sick of them.
Mm.
Patriots just kept winning. And look, I don't think the Chiefs are discounted and I don't think they should be. I don't know who's going to try and play the underdog. I know the Eagles last time they came in played the whole underdog role and no one's really going in with that sort of underdog mantra into this week. But yeah, it's nice when it's someone not from the AFC, but the Eagles is such a hard franchise to get behind. Like, you either love, they're like a Collingwood, they're a Roosters. You either love or you hate them. And Meikle makes it even worse, but yeah, I don't know. I'm struggling this week to pick it.
Well, I suppose having a look at both of the teams, maybe we'll look at their road to get here. Mm-hmm. Starting with Philadelphia, they came really unexpected this year. I suppose we thought they were going to be good. We talked about them being, you know, a really good surprise packet, that they'd built a nice team around Jalen Hurts, and that they were going to sort of prove everyone sort of wrong. And they had quite an easy division. Okay, so they had quite a good road to get there to the postseason. Mm-hmm. But the way that they exploded out the blocks, I don't think anyone could have seen that coming. I mean, to start off, they started with a big game against the Lions, 38-35, and I think everyone sort of questioned where their defense was going to be from there.
Mm. Oh, yeah, they certainly did. I mean, this shows, I mean, this is the blueprint now for NFL teams going forward, franchises going forward, of how to build it. Like, I think the only person that's on this roster on the offense is AJ Brown, is the only person that they haven't drafted for this Eagles offense. I think it's goes credit to Howie Roseman, who's copped flack over the years purely on the Justin Jefferson pickup. We know that that's going to haunt him forever, but I mean, this can just make it all go away so quickly. But they've just gone out, and we said this in the preseason, we've banged on about this, and the people were bullish on it, but we loved everything that they did in the offseason. We didn't think it would manifest like this and go so quickly, but geez, it's been good.
Yeah, it's crazy how it's just sort of all come together. And I suppose especially it's got to be left on Jalen Hurts' shoulders. Like, as much as we always say there are other skill position players and things like that, it's about your quarterback being to come stand forward and deliver and show what he's about. And I think, you know, he's probably made the biggest leap from year one to year two, or year two to year three, sorry, in this starting role, I suppose. And he's quite – I think it's blown everyone's mind that he's really sort of stepped forward, and why he was probably he wasn't named, but certainly should have been up there as like a finalist for MVP for that reason.
Oh, I think he absolutely should. He's been excellent this year. The expectations weren't high, and he's far exceeded them. And I mean, they're going to, I guess, obviously if they win it, they're going to be silly not to lock him up, but it'd be interesting to see further in. I know we're going ahead of ourselves here and thinking further down the track and contracts, because that's going to change the whole game for the Eagles. Because if you get a winner of the Super Bowl, if he wins the MVP, like Super Bowl MVP, sorry, and he's been in contention for the MVP, it's going to be hard not to pay this bloke a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of those questions of how much is it going to be detrimental to what they've done with this franchise? Because, yeah, they've just built amazingly around this guy, and it's just worked an absolute treat.
Yeah, well, hopefully they can stick it together. I mean, because you did see that there was that period. Obviously, they started like a house on fire. We sort of mentioned that. They had that sort of tough loss against the Commanders mid-season. That was a bit tough one to take. They're really sloppy. Jalen had a really off night, and you could see that it affected the whole team. They got back on the winning horse, but then it was towards that back end of the season when Hurts did go out injured. And as much as Gardner Minshew played well, you know, really, really good, but it really showed that the team was lacking, and that he was, you know, for the Eagles, their most valuable player when they ran out.
Yeah, it's funny that an injury sometimes can prove to a team's why you are the person you are. Like, people sort of get comfortable and complacent and be like, oh, this guy's not actually that good. Like, we'd be fine without him. Like, I guess Lamar's one. There's multiple other guys that just, like, Tua has shown the same thing. I mean, when he's been in, he was excellent. But Hurts, because Minshew in the past has done a reasonable job for teams that he's backed up for or played for, so I don't think he's not like he's a terrible backup. But yeah, Hurts certainly cemented himself as the reason that they are very successful.
Yeah, and looking at their overall season, obviously it was sort of fair few wins. Looking at their postseason, they came in, you know, off the back of some losses against the Cowboys and the Saints. They took out the Giants. But they went back again sort of the week later in the postseason, and they just trounced them on the defense, wasn't it? 38-7. They kept the pressure up and just really, you know, stamped their foot as the best team in the NFC East.
Oh, they haven't been troubled at all. I mean, they've allowed two touchdowns and put up some serious points against two very quality defenses, one especially in the 49ers, like 31 points against the 49ers defense. In no question, no doubt in my mind, like, that's an unbelievable performance. I don't know how many times the 49ers have had that put on them this year. I'd be interesting to go and see, but they've just seemed to have gotten not a cakewalk, but they've just had not an easy road. It's weird to say an easy road, but compared to the Chiefs, they've done it a lot easier, but they've obviously played a lot better. But yeah, that's quite a nice road to the bowl.
Yeah, I suppose you're looking at the 49ers here. It hasn't really happened from what I can see. No, they had the one game where the Raiders scored 34, but they won 34 over that. The other one, all their losses were quite close. Chiefs was one.
44 on them. But I mean, again, that is the Chiefs. But
that's a good game.
This does show that, I know you can't use this method to determine results, but these two offenses can put points up. So we know the Chiefs are going to be fine in putting points up. It's just the Eagles' defense has been unbelievable.
Yeah. And I suppose, speaking of the Chiefs, we look at their season, and again, not a huge preseason, more losses, I suppose, in their offseason. You know, we had the loss of Tyreek Hill was massive for them. It was always going to be, you know, what is Mahomes going to do without his number one weapon? Will he be able to throw it? But I think sort of the pickups that they made through, you know, the offseason and the year, guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, these guys are great wide receivers, maybe a little bit past it. But when you pair them up with a guy like Mahomes, you can really start to get the best out of them. I mean, even in late season, we saw Kadarius Toney as another one as well that started to actually catch some balls.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to mention. I was going to say it's a bunch of misfits, really. Like, yeah, Kadarius Toney coming in. I mean, first round pick, but he came in, fit in nicely. And look, Mahomes, we've said this before, can do it with a lot of different players. He could do it with anyone. The one for me that stood out for him this year offensively is Isaiah Pacheco. I think that's how you say his name. I mean, Edwards-Helaire has had his issues. It's always risky picking a running back in the first round, pick 32, so just on the end of the first round, but it looks like his job's been taken.
I think that's where they've always been lacking a bit, hasn't it, the past couple of years? Like, their air game has been unreal, but it's just that passing game that they've been missing. And obviously, once you take that out, you take away play action and all those sort of things, so you're missing sort of a half of your offense.
Oh, yeah.
And to get a guy like Pacheco, who is just, he's just such a bull runner, isn't he? The amount of broken tackles that he's made this year and runs, it's just, it's electric to watch him sometimes go to work. And even like, not from a running standpoint, but just from the checkdowns and things like that, that he's been able to do in the screens. Oh, it's just, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's really unlocked a huge part of their game. Now, I guess the biggest question going around for the last 2 weeks, and is Patrick Mahomes going to be healthy? Is that ankle going to hold up? Because it's going to get targeted. They're going to really, really force him out of the pocket and make him run. And that's, we're going to find out pretty early on if that's going to hold the test of time.
Yeah. And I think for us, we were really skeptical about it coming into that Bengals game. But credit to him, he put it on. He played well. He seemed to keep it out of trouble, even though he did sort of get hunted a fair bit and he did get sacked once or twice. But I think, you know, obviously from the work that they've done and now the 2 weeks sort of off, it feels like that he's probably going to be ready to rip and tear.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks is a long time. There's a lot of injections the man could have had in his ankle and a lot of work that they're going to do. And I mean, they're going to be around the clock on that. They're going to be working their asses off trying to, there's only so much you can do, but I think he's going to have to get up for this and he's going to, like, Giddy's going to be, I know we could talk about the defenses and the defense of the Eagles can lead them, but the two quarterbacks, we don't know, it's very cliche for NFL, but this battle is going to be huge.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be that sort of pressure that gets down to them. I suppose you sort of look at their sort of run into the home. They had a quite a good win streak. They did obviously lose to the Bengals mid-season. That had a bit of a hoodoo there. Then they go on a win streak. They take on the Jaguars, who, to their credit, kept up with them a little bit. But it was a real dogfight in that AFC Championship game. And I think, you know, if I'd have to say anything, that's probably going to serve them well because they had to go in the trenches. They had to fight for that win. Whereas I know as well, it's nice to be cruisy and walk through your semifinal or championship game. But for me to be able to have that sort of mentality of going to, you know, fight and have to earn it, and now they're going to have to do it again, you know, I think that may sort of give them a better chance to start stronger than the Eagles.
Yeah, well, you kind of answered my question for me there. I was actually thinking that. I was going to say, like, how much do we read into the fact that, like, yeah, they've had that tougher road in? Does that bode well for them? Like, how much do we actually think that plays a crucial part? Is it pivotal in terms of they're tested, they're ready to go? And look, there may be an element to it. Absolutely, I think they've played two decent teams. Jaguars came good at the end of the year. Bengals, I mean, they've all played decent teams. We know they're all playoff teams, but they are tested. And I think, yeah, I don't know. The more we talk about it, it's starting to push me the other way. But, yeah, there's something just sticking there with me about Eagles.
Yeah, I suppose one way you could look at it, split it, is, you know, there's interesting things about the matchups, but the Kelce Bowl, between, like, Travis and Jason Kelce. I really liked of what Kelce, of course, that doesn't split him, but, like, what Kelce's done on the offensive line, Jason. He's had a huge year for the Eagles, and I think he's been one of the better players on the line throughout the whole league.
Oh, he has. And his job, I mean, it depends on where they – are they going to play Frank Clark on the edge? Are they going to play – oh, is it Jones or Clark? No, it's Chris Jones, isn't it? Frank Clark.
Chris Jones, yeah.
Yeah, he got done with a gun. He was a menace, and it sort of changed in the Bengals game. They had him on the edge for a lot, then they put him up the middle. Like, he just caused a lot of issues for Burrow. And it's either going to be probably Lane Johnson, Mailata, or if he comes through the middle, it's going to be Kelce's job. And he's going to cause some serious headaches because Hassan Reddick on the other edge.
That's Eagles, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm thinking the other way around. Yeah. So, look, I think if they can contain Jones, and they've got the guys to do it, they've got the blokes who just don't give up anything. They're absolute brick walls. That this offensive line is phenomenal.
I think they've got a really good offensive line, don't they? And that's going to set the platform for Hurts because we know that Mahomes can deliver under pressure. He can roll out even with the bung angle. Mm-hmm. And he's shown that he's been able to sort of still work and find those guys, you know, like he's Travis Kelce and things like that down the ways when he needs to roll out. But Hurts, it's, we know if he's got a clean pocket, he's one of the best in the league. It's when that pocket breaks down, and throughout this year, I don't think he's sort of had that as much to worry about. So when, if that high-end pressure is going to come in, and especially sort of, you know, the big games and things like that, we know he hasn't actually been crash hot in big games. He got pulled in that Alabama national championship game. Is that going to affect him mentally and then affect on-field performances?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's very much so. That, like, does that play on his mind a lot? Like, he's the big moment games, he hasn't been there to deliver. But I mean, that's college. That's a long while away. Completely different roster. But yeah, it's. I think we talked about this with Brock Purdy, and we said like the moment's going to overawe him. And eventually, I mean, he got injured, so that wasn't really his own fault. But I mean, Mahomes has been there. He's done it. He knows what this is all about. Is the moment going to overawe Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, it's the whole argument of you got to lose one to win one, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I suppose that's probably the only thing that plays on my mind with the Eagles, but it's a really good franchise, and we've seen what happened last time they went to the Super Bowl. We don't need to remind anyone, so it's doable. It's not going to be easy, but I think it's certainly doable, and I think they're sort of going to get that platform that'll be laid for them, and I think they'll be able to take advantage of it. Chiefs may start, as I said, start hotter for me, just because they've had that easy run in, but I think over the top, the Eagles will be able to work their way through because they've just had sort of that cruisier run, and they're probably going to have the legs to finish these guys off.
Yeah, they are, and it's interesting because I'm just looking, I'm getting up the sort of a depth chart for each of these teams and just having a look at the defense across the Eagles. Like, I mean, Mahomes is going to have to work probably the short passing game, and as you said, sort of offloading to Pacheco a little bit, because I mean, your corners of Darius Slay and James Bradbury are unbelievable, and then their safeties are bloody good, but then their pass rush is just, I mean, yeah, across the board, this is an unbelievable defense, and they're not even using some of the guys they drafted. I mean, Jordan Davis is sort of sitting third on the like defensive tackle, and then N'Kobe Dean sort of sitting further back as well. Like, I mean, this team's just built around absolute studs.
It's crazy the amount of depth they have, isn't it? Like, and it just shows how good they're going to be. And hopefully they're going to be good for a long time, but this is going to be their first test and their first hurdle through if they want to build a dynasty.
Oh, it is. And they've gone a very good way about it. Like, I mean, in the offseason, they're not going to have to, I mean, they're going to have to make some changes and they're going to have to pick up some guys. But, I mean, they got weapons. They got AJ Brown. They got Devonta Smith. They could probably go on. I mean, God, it's good as well. They could go and look for another wide receiver somewhere and just really strengthen it up. But just goes to show, like, sometimes that's all you need. You need to give the guy you've got weapons, because if he's got the weapons, he's capable of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are all quarterbacks in the NFL. They should be the top 32 guys in the world. So you give them a little bit, they should be able to make absolute lemons out of it.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I guess we've talked about the game there. We know we do love a good bet over here, and everyone loves a good bet on the game. I think this is probably the amount of money that would go on to just the Super Bowl. It'd be like the Melbourne Cup. Like, people just once a year would get on it.
Oh, it's going to go bananas, especially nowadays with, like, the amount of things that states that have legalized gambling.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
billions.
Yeah. So with that, what are we going to go through? Do we want to have a few options that we're going to pick, and we'll just work out what we're going to go with?
Yeah, I think, look, head-to-head, we've obviously both decided with the Eagles. Is that correct?
I think so. I think it's hard for me to go past it. Like, I think my head's leaning there. I want to pick Chiefs, but I can't move away from it. I will go the favourite with the Eagles, so we'll stick with that.
We're looking at the Eagles. I suppose, yeah, looking at your NFL MVP, the Super Bowl MVP. For me, if it's going to be the Eagles winning, it's going to be a Jalen Hurts one. It just has to be. That guy needs to be the number one. Otherwise, I could possibly see like an Hassan Reddick turning it on defense. But like, I think the last person that won a defensive one was probably Von Miller, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. Von Miller was one. And then looking at other positions, you've got wide receiver. You've had
maybe Aaron Donald. Sorry, it would have been maybe last year.
Oh, yeah, possibly. Yeah, Aaron Donald, then before that, Von Miller. But also, yeah, looking at the other places out, there's not many outside of quarterback. Julian Edelman was one. He's another one that's won one. That's going to be harder. Jalen Hurts obviously makes the most sense. I kind of want to go something different just for the sake of it. I do like Hassan Reddick. That's a great pick. Oh, look, we'll have a look at maybe Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
I reckon he'll have a big day. I reckon they might keep AJ Brown quiet, but I reckon Devonta Smith will have a big day. He'll get himself 2 touchdowns, 100 odd yards. But in saying that, if he does get that, that means Hurts has had a good day out too.
Yeah, I think if you're a wide receiver, you probably need to be touching along with 200, maybe 200, maybe two or three tutties to sort of overawe them. Yeah.
Yeah, look, yeah, that yeah, you really made me reconsider my decision. yeah, look, we'll change that quickly. We'll go Miles Sanders. I think if they're going to get the running game going, we'll go Miles Sanders, because that actually is a very good point. I think if you're going to make good passes and you're going to wide receivers that go off, they're going to have a stupid one-off game.
Yeah,
for the quarterback not to get it.
All right, what are you thinking about, like, first touchdown score? We're looking at that. We're keeping our eyes open. Is it a Chiefs player? Is it a Eagles player? Defense, special teams?
This is all going to come to the coin toss, and we're going to make the decision on the coin toss later. Because I think if you win the coin toss, I think either of these teams are capable of really, like, Eagles have just shown that they can blow teams off the park quickly, 10, 14 points on the first few drives. I'm going to stick with an Eagles theme here. I'm worried, yeah, and I'll go on Miles Sanders. If MVP is going to be Miles Sanders, he's going to score the first one.
Yeah, I'm probably flipping it. I talked about, like, having a fast start on the Kansas City. I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to get in there. They might be able to move it up the field nicely and get, like, a little burrow in to start with. He'll just force his way in on, like, a third on short or something like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Speaking of sort of first thing, there was a novelty here, which I do also like. What is going to be the result of the first drive? So you've got, obviously, punt, field goal, touchdown, turnover.
I think it'll be a touchdown. I think I can't go past touchdown. I know there's a lot of pressure on the first drive. There's so much hype on the game. There's a lot of nerves, but I think someone's going to bang out a touchdown first drive. I think that's pretty risky because it's probably going to end another way, no doubt, but I'll go with touchdown.
I do like a good punt on the first one. I got a feel that it'll be nervy. Everyone will be just getting their feet wet. Yeah, I got a punt for the first one.
No, I think that's probably pretty fair.
So probably moving on to some of the novelty ones, that sort of covers us for the main game. We got some good ones. I know a big one is the Super Bowl script. We mentioned this. It's currently running at 37 Eagles, Chiefs 34. It'll get you $81 on Sportsbet here in Australia. Now, if you believe that, I think that's money for jam, and you could easily pay away all your debts if you drop some dosh into that one. But look, moving to some proper serious ones. Thoughts on the national anthem? That's a big one to start us off with. We've got over or under 127 seconds. So that's just over 2 minutes for the Star Spangled Banner, sung by Chris Stapleton, who is a country music star, I believe. Don't know too much about him, but look, these kind of guys, I know they like the big stage, and it's patriotic as hell over there, isn't it? So I think they're really going to carry on, and they're going to go the over for me on the anthem.
Yeah, look, the singer's the kind of one that throws it for me, because I think it was a female singer and they really like to throw those long sort of notes. I definitely go the overs. The overs are heavy favourites here. Under's at 225. Like, it seems like a fairly long 2 minutes. I'm trying to even think how long the anthem roughly goes for when you sing it normally. But they do like to drag it out. I'm tempted to go unders. Yeah, I'm gonna go the unders. I think it's, like, realistically, it probably will go over. He'll carry on and sing some long notes, but I'm gonna go the unders.
Going the unders. They're moving on. What did we sort of have next? We have the coin toss. We sort of mentioned it a bit before. For me, it's looking at tails. Like, never done many coin tosses. Never been much of a captain type of guy. I was sort of one of those guys that was the good player. Just couldn't lead people, but that's no. But in all seriousness, as I've heard so many times before, tails never fails.
Yeah, it's one that gets thrown around a lot. Look, I'm not a superstitious kind of guy. I think I'm just going to go ahead just for the sake of it, just to go against you. That's a hard one.
It's tough. Then we look through to the halftime show. We got Rihanna. The big one is Rihanna's first song performed. Now, there's so many good options. I think Stay is currently the favourite.
It is, in the betting market, yep.
Yeah, but for me, I vibe like a really high-up hit. You know, Ponder Replay jumps out to me, or, you know, I think Umbrella's probably a bit too big. It's quite bumpy, but it's a bit too big. I actually like the look of Disturbia right there. I'm going to go Disturbia for the first one. I think that's a big one.
There's good value there, $17. Yeah, I'm kind of tossing up. There's a few. Run This Town, I think, could be a nice opener. I don't know if she'll go that heavy. What's My Name kind of starts a little bit slow, so it might not be right. But Don't Stop the Music. I think Don't Stop the Music at $5, I think, is what I'm going to run with here.
Yeah, I vibe that. All right. So looking at last couple of ones, we've got now, what is it? Oh, the color liquid to be poured on the coach. Now we've got blue, green, yellow, orange, red, clear, or purple. What are your thoughts?
Some outrageous choices there. I think I'm just going to have to go green, yellow, $3.50. It's a good flavor. outside of that, there's not many other. I don't like some of the higher ones. I mean, how often do they use those sort of colors? But yeah, green, yellow for me, 350.
Yeah, I think a big one's been blue lately, but for me, I'm going to go with a bit of color matching. I know a lot of those buckets that you see on the sideline, they're colored orange on the exterior. I'm going to go the orange liquid in the orange bucket.
Do you reckon it's dependent on who wins? Do you reckon each team has a different color or they both run the same color?
Look, to be honest, I couldn't tell you. Like,
Yeah,
because I suppose we only ever see one side of it. But it wouldn't surprise me if they would throw it out there and go different colors.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I guess do people go ahead and sort of try and look back at games that the other teams have played and see what sort of color Gatorade they've had during those games? But I don't know how much you can actually read into this.
I mean, you could actually. Like, I mean, surely a team would have, you know, a preference. I wouldn't be surprised if you got into the nitty-gritty. There would be a democratic vote and we sit down and we go, all right, boys. We're going to have this sort of bucket. Or, you know, there's a lot of guys on there. They could have a lot of buckets. We could have an issue where we have, you know, a certain
multiple
colored buckets and it just happens to be the one that they pick up. I mean, I don't know. Like, I like to think that the team itself gets to pick one color and they stick in unity to that one color for the season.
Right. Yeah. Look, it's probably fair. But yeah, look, you're right. Like the amount of options they give them for like lollies and all sorts of things on the sideline, you could be bang on about the fact that they just have multiple buckets there and it's just your personal preference.
And we're just luck of the draw, which is what a lot of these things are. So, you know, it's one of those things to keep an eye on, but we do enjoy it. It'll make the day a bit more fun, I think. So we'll keep those ones out and we're looking forward to it.
Oh, massively. It's going to be a huge day. Like it's, I guess sometimes it gets that build up and that hype and sometimes it doesn't deliver. This has every chance to not do that. It could be an absolute, I mean, it could be a blowout. I don't see it being a blowout. I also don't really see it being high scoring. I think people are anticipating a high scoring game. I actually don't know if it's going to be as high scoring as people think.
Yeah, this feels like one that could go either way and it's going to hang on a knife's edge for me. Like it doesn't have the feelings of a blowout. It certainly is going to be low scoring. It'll be really tough. I feel like there will probably be a lot more punts than actual touchdowns and things like that because we're going to see a lot of changing of the hands for turnovers and things like that. I just think it'll be one of those really engaging, really tight games. Probably one for the purists, as they say. Low scoring, hard hitting, and just good, hard, honest football.
Yeah, keeping the old boys happy. I guess in saying that, in terms of punting, we know there's three Aussies in this game. Matt Leo, it doesn't play a huge amount, I don't think, for the Eagles. Jordan Mailata, who we mentioned. Now, Aaron Sipos is the one who's back from injured reserve. You talked about punting. Do we believe he does get field time, or are they just going to err on the side of caution with who they've been using?
It's hard because I want to see him play and he's clearly like, you know, the number one punter there. So if he's good to go, it sounds like he might be. But when you're talking about finals and things like that, you got to just feed the hot hand and their understudy guy there. He's been playing quite well in his Sipos's absence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it'll be a tough break for Aaron if that does happen. But, you know, I suppose we've got to wait and see and keep an eye on RotoWire.
Yeah, 100%. We'll have to. Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to look forward to. And look, either way, if he wins, rings a ring, they're going to take home a ring and he'll be stoked.
Love that. So, I mean, looking ahead, that's the NFL Super Bowl. That'll be the season wrapped up. But for us, we're just sort of starting to kick off into the offseason. There's a big few things coming. Draft, I'm not interested in because we've traded away our future for two oldies, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. But I know on the home front, closer to home at the Gridiron Guys, we've been able to lucky enough to talk to a few guys at the college. We've got a few more guys lined up. So we're really excited to, you know, release those ones for you once this season wraps up.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I think as you said, we're pretty excited to have them out. It's just interesting for me getting a perspective from these guys of what the game's like over there and what immersing themselves in the college. And we kind of get to know the person and sort of where they're at, what the college is like, where they're at. And I guess that's sort of the mystery we have here. We don't really know a huge amount about college football, especially. And I think that gives us a great insight into the game. So I think there's going to be a few crackers coming up.
Yeah, we love that. So look forward to our those ones and look onto our socials. We'll be keeping you up to date there throughout the whole thing.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.